Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome to Nightlight. I am Pete Chwaba, hoping to make your night a little more pleasant after a windy day here in Wisconsin. I think it was windy all over the state. We are in Green Bay, downtown Green Bay at WGBW, broadcasting live throughout the state of Wisconsin as we inch ever closer to spring. Why am I obsessed with the weather, Conrad? I mention the weather in every intro to the show, I think.
Well, you just got to let him know. Today's forecast is...
Yeah.
I'm well Chihuahua style.
All over the world for my five-day forecasts. Let's take a look at the five-day. Great to have you with me on this Wednesday. Is it Wednesday night already?
My gosh.
And I think we talked about this last week, the hump day thing. I don't know. I can't get into that phrase. Some people beat it to death. Got a great show for you guys tonight. Frank Anderson from Wisconsinology will join me in about 20 minutes. We are going to ask Frank. I've got a lot of questions for Frank. We always run out of time. I made sure tonight we had enough time. We're going to talk about John F. Kennedy's connection to Wisconsin, as well as the Kennedy family. We're going to talk about the father of Wisconsin. Who is it? You'll just have to wait and see. Frank will tell us. And some really cool stuff he had on his Wisconsinology website recently, including Robert Block, who wrote Psycho. In 2022, Variety magazine, kind of the authority on show business, called Psycho the greatest movie ever made. That's debatable. Some people would probably say it is, and some people would disagree. But Robert Block wrote the book. He is from Wauwega, Wisconsin, and Frank has so many of these great nuggets of Wisconsinites who just do cool things in the world. So we'll talk to Frank about that as well. And apparently, the Norman Bates character was based on Ed Gein, another famous Wisconsinite for all the wrong reasons. But we got Psycho out of the deal, so the rest of the country got to get something positive out of our... Not one of our favorite sons. And then Kevin Williams will join me in the second hour. We're going to talk to Kevin over the phone at 8:35. He is starting a new network. I mean, you talk about ambitious. Going into show business, you know, takes a little bit of guts like anything. I think people make a big deal about it. When I talk to people about it, they're like, wow, that must take, you know, some guts or whatever. It does a little, but you know what? It's just like any other business. Once you get rolling, you make your connections, you find a way to make a living. Kevin is starting his own network with a few other people. It's called the TBH Network, and it's available a few places right now to stream. They are planning a big launch coming up soon. Also, an interesting thing about Kevin, his mom is Denise Williams, who I don't know if she wrote it. She sings Let's Hear It for the Boys. She was like a pop star back in the 80s. And she sang with Johnny Mathis and all these great crooners. And Kevin was born in Gary and has fun stories to talk about his life growing up in a show business family. And we'll talk to him about his new network. That's kind of cool, I think. I don't know. I wouldn't even know where to begin. And TBH stands for To Be Honest. Conrad, what would you call your network if you created a network?
I don't even, the Conrad Network.
I knew you were going to say that. I kind of put you on the spot there too. I don't know. Yeah, that's a tough one. I think I would do like the Also-Rans Network because I would just find stuff that's been discarded and people have created entire networks on that. TV Land, MeTV, they get all these old TV shows. Anyway, we'll talk to Kevin about what he's got planned for the TBH Network. And as I mentioned, Frank Anderson will be around in about 20 minutes or so. And we'll talk to Frank. So I've got a new pet peeve. And, you know, it hits close to home. Maybe you guys can relate to this. When you pull up to a fast food place and you're with someone in the car who doesn't know what they want or has to look at the menu, this drives me bananas. And you know what? I'm already not happy because I'm eating fast food and I'm going to get out of there before anybody sees me. But my wife will do this. She'll go, now hold on a second. She'll look at the menu. It's McDonald's. We're not surprising you. My son did that recently, about 3 months ago. It's late night. We're going to get some food, watch some movies. We go to Taco Bell. Hold on, Dad. I got to look at the menu. Ah, really? It's bad cheese, bad meat, and nachos. You know, pick how you want it served to you, but it's all the same stuff. The same stuff that's been on the menu for 30, 40 years. McDonald's, like, what, 70 years now? Drives me crazy. And I wish it didn't. It's not. It's just such a dumb thing. But I just don't, have the patience. You know what they have. Think about it while we're driving up. In the meantime, there's like a long line of cars behind us. And the other thing I did, I was with a cousin of mine. We pulled up to fast food. This is about a year ago. And he says, I'd like a burrito. I don't want the cheese. Can you replace that with rice? And I'd like it grilled. That takes guts. There is no way I would make that many demands at a fast food restaurant. You are asking for trouble. And when I say trouble, I mean a loogie. That takes a lot of guts. I would never, I would maybe say, plain. That's it. I am not giving people at fast food special instructions, at least not too many. Conrad, you're pulling up to a McDonald's. Do you need time or do you pretty much know what you want?
I know I'm finishing off with a Diet Coke.
Okay. like that matters.
Diet Coke, no ice. Always ice in it.
Oh, you don't do the ice.
Sometimes. Oh. Yeah. But you know, you want more of the beverage. The ice takes up so much of it.
No, I get it. Yeah. I get it. That's very savvy. That's very savvy business sense. But you know what you want, right? I mean, you pull up.
Yeah, it's like I know what I'm feeling right when I get up to that menu. I'm like, yeah, I know what I want.
Right. You're not going to see anything on that menu that surprises you.
No.
Oh, I see you have rack of lamb today at McDonald's.
Next time you go to McDonald's, just, hey, what are your daily specials today?
Yeah, what's your soup du jour? Yeah, I don't know. I feel bad. I get so impatient. I'm just like, oh my gosh. Because nobody feels good about ordering fast food or breaking down to that point where you're like, oh God, I'm just going to go to McDonald's or Taco Bell. By the way, if you're thinking about advertising on this show and you own a McDonald's or Taco Bell, I love your restaurant. The other thing I do is this. I always, whenever I'm ordering, like if I'm just beyond the point where I'm going to order a ton of food because I'm that hungry, I always act like I'm ordering for two. Like, if I say like two orders of nachos Bel Grande, two orders of nachos and three tacos and one Coke, that's a dead giveaway. It's all for me. So I'll go, what did she want again? I'll even involve the guy. What do women order at Taco Bell, buddy? I can't remember. I know my wife wanted this and this. This isn't all for me. Don't think for a second. I can. Or you act like you're reading off a list because it's like too much food. It's so embarrassing. Hey, we got a question tonight. I don't know if I love it. Conrad, help me. I was saying, big releases on this day. In 2020, The Tiger King came out. We were in the throes of COVID, or it had just started, the quarantine or the lockdowns or whatever. So Tiger King dropped 4 years ago. And I remember Tiger King because that's what everybody was watching during COVID. But I feel like we've had a question like this before. Have we asked people what got them through COVID or what they watched? Does that sound familiar to you?
I think we might have. Okay. We might have done it before. Yeah.
All right, we gotta think on the fly. We need a new question. We can even put that out. What do you think our question should be tonight? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We could do something. Let's do this. Let's ask people who the father of Wisconsin should be. Because Frank wants to talk about that. And I told him I would ask that because now I'm curious. And I purposely did not Google it because I want Frank to tell me. I don't like that either. What do you think our question should be, folks? Let's put this out there. 855-75-CIVIC. That's the question tonight. What do you think our question should be? I almost tried to pawn off a question we've already used, and I'm above that. I'm not above much, but I am above that. And people can watch in the stream, too. Conrad, you want to tell them?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook with the WGBW page, the Nightlight with Pete Schwab Facebook page, on YouTube, the Civic Media page, and on Twitter or X, WGBW.
I love it. Don't be afraid to give us a like on Facebook or Twitter or your social media platform of choice. You know, today is National Proposal Day. We could ask people what they propose. Let's see that we already have a couple of texts here. Question, what is your favorite fast food sandwich? That's Conrad's dad. All right, we'll do that, Conrad. Your dad is officially part of the show. Are you embarrassed?
Favorite? I'm trying to think. It would have to be a chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, I feel like.
All right, that's our question. We're going to pivot. Thanks to Conrad's dad, we have a question tonight. What is your favorite fast food? Not just sandwich. It could be a taco. It could be chicken sandwich, Big Mac, whatever. What is your favorite fast food? What would you call? Oh, man. Favorite fast food sandwich. That's what we're going with. Steve Krieger, ladies and gentlemen, in the house with his question. That's our question tonight. What's your favorite fast food sandwich? Let us know. Text us on the app or text us at 855-75-CIVIC. Not the most exciting question in the world, but we'll get something good out of it, right? Frank Anderson's up in just a little bit. We're going to talk about all things Wisconsin with Frank. That's always fun. And we're going to talk about Ben Chan. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. TV dinners and ginger ale. Oh, what the F and what the little money come and work out well. C'est la vie, said the old folks. Goes to show you never can tell. They had a high five for a boy, and he let it fly. 700 little ragged, it would only run a rhythm of jazz. Nightlight. So now I'm in a quandary. I've got some other good. Sherry from Northwest Coast, California says, what is your question for tonight? We're just going to go. I put it out there at first that we were taking suggestions. Steve Krieger came in first place, mostly because he's the fastest texter. And we're going with, what is your favorite fast food sandwich? So, and we got a very interesting text here. Okay, Conrad, you said something about Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, that's definitely my favorite fast food is the Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich.
Okay, so we got a text from Tom from the 310. Tom's out in L.A., a Wisconsin native, I believe. Tom says, Conrad, don't go Chick-fil-A. It's the most anti-gay place on the planet.
I did not know that.
Why do you dislike gay people, Conrad?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's tough. I know a lot of people don't like their politics, but they they go there and muscle the food down anyway because they like it. And then from the 920, Steve says, my favorite, for some reason, I always go back to McDonald's iconic Big Mac. All right, so this is interesting because Frank Anderson is on the show tonight, and Frank posted something on Facebook recently about the guy's name is, where is that? I think it's Steve Gorski. He's eaten 34,000 Big Macs in his life. He's kept track. He's been doing it since like the early 80s or late 70s. And now I want to say he eats two a day. And he's not even a heavy guy. Like, that's it. He's just counting calories. Apparently, he's not gotten sick of them. From the 818, Peg says, a hamburger from McDonald's. I love the Happy Meals. Okay. I wonder how old Peg is, because that would be... I know a lot of people that get the Happy Meals because they can count calories, even though they're adults. Paula says, Gilly Burger from Gilly's in Fond du Lac. I don't know that place.
It's really good.
Really?
Yeah. It's like a Sonic kind of place, you know, you drive into it.
Yeah.
Drive in. That's what it, yeah. It's nice. It's a really good burger.
I've never even heard of that. I'll tell one of my favorite fast food. I don't even know if it's fast food. It's Leon's in Oshkosh. They do the juice burger. It's like a sloppy Joe. Dynamite.
Ooh,
very, very good. Yeah. If you're ever going through there, do it. From the 818. Oh, Bridget says In-N-Out Burger. I guess that would explain the 818. Yes. Southern California, the In-N-Out Burger. And as far as fast food goes, the In-N-Out Burger is not terribly, I mean, it's unhealthy, but their fries are natural. They cut them. You can see them cutting them right there. And I think there's a little bit better quality of meat than some fast food places. These are great suggestions. I got to try Gilly's. And Sherry says, watching on the stream, hi, Sherry, good evening from Horicon McDonald's, little cheeseburgers and hot salty fries. She says, I'm glad we don't have one in Horicon. Got to go to Mayville or Beaver Dam. Is that for McDonald's, Sherry? I know there's one in Beaver Dam. Great answers. Keep those suggestions coming. Your favorite fast food sandwich. We'll even count burritos from Taco Bell if you want to do that. Just good, bad food. That's what we're talking about tonight. What is your favorite fast food sandwich? 855-75-CIVIC. Text us on the app or on the stream like Sherry does. Always great when you guys interact with me during throughout the show. So Ben Chan was on the show a couple weeks ago. He was in the throes of an incredible Jeopardy run. He finally was defeated. He ended up taking second place. But Ben totally brought it. Even when he was... in the finals, like a week ago, he came back and won by a dollar twice. Like, he eked out a victory. So exciting and so much fun. And he is just, I mean, talk about crushing Jeopardy. He's 16th all time in regular play at like 252,000, I think, and change. And 25th all time at over 354,000. And he says he's open to going back on Jeopardy down the road, like if they do a celebrity thing or whatever. But I didn't go to any of Ben's watch parties. They were always while I was on the air, but he was a great guest. I'd love to get him back in here and have him talk about the experience now in some hindsight where he doesn't have to sit on any information that he can't divulge. He was really fun to talk to and a really fun interview. Very happy for him. I'm sure on some level he's glad it's over, maybe. But high pressure stuff, and Ben crushed it, man. 354,000, 25th all time. That is impressive. Well done, Ben. And there's a new James Bond. I don't know if you guys know this. Conrad, did you see the last Bond?
Yeah, where it supposedly ended.
Yeah. They killed him. But and that bothers me because it's like they knew they weren't going to stop making Bond films. Like, as I understood it, they killed off 007, not just Daniel Craig. But they have a new Bond, Aaron Taylor Johnson. He's 33. And I'm kind of like, I don't even want to go. I'm like, no, you killed him to get people to the theater. And I know that's what they do. That's what marketing people do. They figure out ways to put more butts in the seats. So there's a new Bond. And he's handsome. And he's sly. And he'll get the bad guy.
Pete, I think you should play the bad guy in that movie.
The bad guy?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Listen, if they call, I'm on it. That's what I couldn't understand, though. Like, when I do these Hollywood 1 minutes for Civic Media, and I said this, Aaron Taylor Johnson is not accepted yet. He's just taking his time. Accept the part, Aaron. It's James Bond. You know you're not saying no. No one knows who you are. You're taking it. Don't play hard to get. Sometimes these studios don't mess around. Like, think about Jerry and George passing on the pilot for $13,000. And then they're like, okay, see ya. Great stuff. All right, we're going to talk to, I love in the news, this Heidi Agin is Kate's, Prince William and Kate. Okay, there's more news there. We'll have to get to this later. I'm very excited to talk to Frank Anderson. He, if you have not checked out wisconsinology.com and you love reading cool, weird, fun, informative stuff about our state, you have to check out wisconsinology.com. There are more facts and cool things on that site. You will get lost in it. And the founder, Frank Anderson, who is also an accomplished musician and animator, he just has a great website there. And he's coming up next to tell us all about it. We're going to have a great talk with Frank. That's next on Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. All right, well, I think our winner is the Big Mac. Again, I am not proud of the question. I take that back. Steve is the one who proposed it. I'm grateful to Steve, but I apologize for not coming up with something a little. But it is a fast food kind of theme tonight, I guess. And Sherry says, in reference to the new Bond, she says, maybe he's his son Bond. Well, that would at least make sense, Sherry, because they killed him off. And James Bond probably did procreate, given all the adventures he went on. Okay, we are going to move on. I'm very excited to announce this next guest. He's a friend of mine. That's irrelevant because he's interesting either way, but he's a great guy. And he is the founder of Wisconsinology.com, an accomplished musician and animator. And he's a Nightlight bestie, Frank Anderson. Hey, Frank.
Pete, I have to ask you a question.
Oh, please.
I'm very excited. I finally saw a decent film made in Wisconsin.
Oh, is it a love letter to Wisconsin?
It's the direct opposite. Have you had Mike Cheslick on your show, on your TV show?
I have. No, he has not been on PBS with me, but I've seen their two most recent films, The Lake Michigan Monster. And I think the one you're going to tell, why don't you tell us about the one you're going to.
Hundreds of Beavers. Hundreds of Beavers. It's like the greatest film ever made.
It is fun, isn't it?
It's a riot.
Now, where did you see it, Frank?
Oh, you know I'm in the industry, don't you?
Yeah, but.
Excuse me, let's leave it at that.
Fair enough.
I'm urging everyone out there, everyone. Keep an eye out. Hundreds of Beavers. Now that's how you make a Wisconsin film.
Yeah, and who knows where they even shot it?
It doesn't matter.
No,
no, I don't. They could have shot it anywhere. It's, you know, so heavily animated.
Yeah.
but live action and animation. But it is fall down funny. We haven't seen gags like that since Eddie Klein from Kenosha directed Buster Keaton or W.C. Fields. We haven't seen that kind of fun. And just when I was feeling down, when I thought Hollywood is just cookie cutter this and cookie cutter that, out comes a great Wisconsin director to say, no, I defy you. Nobody has won more audience awards ever in the film festival circuit than this movie.
Is that true?
That is absolutely true.
Oh, that is terrific. Wow. Well, okay, so you're an animator, Frank. Tell me how, I've asked people after seeing that film, I'm like, how do they do some of that? And like people that are savvy are like, I have no idea. So do you know how they pulled off some of that? Obviously, there's some green screen, there's some location, but I don't know. How do they do that?
It's green screen, location, mishmash. It's charmingly simple how it was done.
Yeah.
And it points to, you know, I mean, he's making this movie. He's getting all the shots done, and he's doing it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, and all in service of the gags, because that's just wall-to-wall slapstick. And he broke every rule of how do you get a film made and how do you get a film sold. You broke every rule. There's no three-act arc going on.
Right.
There's no stupid Wisconsin rom-com going on, you know? There's no love letter. It's weird and surrealistic. I think my advice to all young filmmakers out there, just be so unbelievable. Be yourself. Be different.
Absolutely. Break the rules.
Yeah. But I was just wondering if you knew him.
You know, I have not met him, but I've swapped emails with him and I can never remember the main actor, Rickson Twos or something like that. I can tell you. I'll just pull him up. But he's very funny. He carries the whole movie as an actor.
Right.
And that's tough.
I've never seen a modern actor play gags so well. Right. You know, how some people can easily overact gags.
Yeah.
This guy does it right.
He does. And there's one scene, Frank, in the film where like it's kind of him against all the beavers. He's a fur trapper. And it's him against all the beavers, and the beavers, I think, put one over on him. So they send out a beaver to give him like a Bugs Bunny, Yosemite Sam kind of like seductive look or something. And there's almost no dialogue, but the lead actor, Rylan Brixen Cole Twos, he's got four names, and I couldn't think of two of them. So he looks at the beaver and he just goes, I was watching it with my son and we just both lost it. It's so silly and so fun. Yeah, people have to see this movie.
And this all began, really, with the Lake Michigan Monster.
Yeah.
And I remember being told by so many people in Wisconsin, they were naysaying. And all I could think of was I had seen something I'd never seen before.
Yeah.
It was different top to bottom. It broke every single rule. There was not one single bit of, I don't know if we should do it that way. You know, you got to, you know, that sort of thing. But anyway, it's great. And keep an eye out. It's going to be streaming soon.
It's going to be streaming soon. And not only that, like you said, with the Lake Michigan Monster, Frank, they're breaking the rules, but it's part of it is out of necessity. Like they didn't have any money. Mm-hmm. So what do? You get creative, you get innovative, and you just do something. And they did it both of these. Beavers is funnier, but the Lake Michigan Monster, they're both incredibly creative.
Yes. And unique. I've seen nothing like them. Nothing.
Agreed.
And I watch movies all the time after midnight. And I've never been. And thank God he's from Wisconsin.
UWM, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's incredible.
The only other Wisconsin actor who was as great was the legendary Bruno the Bear, who played Gentle Ben on the TV series in the 60s.
Oh, funny.
From White Lake, Wisconsin. Great. And he was in Life and Times of Judge Roy Bean with Paul Newman.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So this is cool because both of these movies are just like, it says they've made $140,000 at the box office. That's like, that doesn't sound like a lot, but they've, I guarantee you the film cost almost nothing. Yeah, you're right. It says they have 18 wins. And probably a lot of those are audience. Yeah, it's just fun.
All audience awards.
Yeah, that's great stuff. Okay, so any word? And let's see now, though, Frank, if they get like this big deal, if they can say no to Julia Roberts, who wants to appear in his next film somehow, you know.
I don't think he's going to go that way. And if he does, it'll be for the money, you know.
Well, yeah.
Get your $2-3 million director's fee and everything else. And
yeah.
Run. Yeah. Which I would admire greatly.
Absolutely. No, they're supposed to be on the show in the next couple of weeks. I'm excited to talk. I've only talked to Ryland over email, and I just met Mike over email. So, and Kurt Ravenwood is
fantastic.
A Wisconsin guy. I met him. At, I think the Wisconsin Film Festival a few years ago, he made a short or something like that, but nice
well,
guy.
Well, kindly tell them that this means nothing because I've been losing, I'm at a low point in my audience over at Wisconsinology, but I'm working, I
what?
Can work back up.
That's terrible.
Tony, that's due to my laziness.
Oh, okay. Well, at least
when
you
I
have...
going, it'll be good, but I gave them a rave review. I called it the greatest movie ever.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll be sure and mention that when they're on the show as well. So we'll see if we can generate some. Go there now. If you're listening, check out Wisconsinology and read about Hundreds of Beavers.
Facebook.
Or Facebook. Yeah. And don't do it now. Listen to this.
Wisconsinology Facebook.
Okay.
You
prefer
the,
you prefer that over the going to the actual website?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's easier. It's faster. I do it quicker. I'm lazier on the website.
Oh.
I kind of store things on the website.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and it's a month from now when I do the massive transfer of everything I've done in the past 6 months over to the website.
Oh wow. Okay. Well, you've had some cool stuff on Facebook, Frank, and we'll get to some of that as well too. But I did last night tease that we were going to talk a little bit about John Kennedy and his connection to Wisconsin, and you and I kind of almost went there in your last visit. And just the Kennedy clan as a whole, I know two instances of when John F. Kennedy was here, and I'm guessing you know a whole lot more. So let's start with you.
Well, sure. He was. I'm not being facetious at all when I say John Kennedy loved the Green Bay Packers more than any football team.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but his main connection to Wisconsin is that Wisconsin is so heavily Catholic. And his sister Rose, who had the unfortunate lobotomy, was taken care of at St. Coletta's in Jefferson, Wisconsin, till the day she died. Their connection here was enormous. And then Bobby Kennedy was Joe McCarthy's right-hand man.
Right.
And Joe McCarthy's funeral, which I write about in my book, one of the most hilarious, surreal funerals in history, at the end of which... Bobby Kennedy alone goes out by Joe's freshly dug grave and has a chat with him for a quiet, private chat.
Really?
Talking to his headstone for an hour before the sun went down.
No kidding.
Yeah. And of course, JFK, what made him was the Wisconsin primary of 1960.
Yeah.
And we talked last time about the movie Primary, which everyone should see.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the Criterion Collection, and it's on Turner Classic Movies every November, and you can call it up instantly streaming. I'd urge everybody to watch it. It goes by quick. It's famous for being the first cinema verite movie ever.
Really?
Which falls right into the trap, my trap, of we're the capital, we're the number one state in firsts. So we have the first cinema verite film ever in Primary, and everyone should watch it. You cannot understand that Wisconsin without watching that film, and then you quickly get it. The western unpopulated side is full of Protestants, Lutherans.
Right.
The coast from Milwaukee to Green Bay and up to Door County, well, that's where everybody lives, and they're all Catholic.
They're going
nuts because they have this young... handsome, fresh Catholic candidate. And it's like the Beatles arrived when he descends upon Milwaukee and Nina and Green Bay.
Jeez. Yeah, I got the film right here, 1960 primary. Okay. And they're calling it Cinema Verite, feature that follows presidential hopefuls John F. Kennedy and Hubert H. Humphrey during the 1960 Wisconsin primary. Oh, man, that is great. Okay. I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah, I mean, a real quick example from that film. They cut from Kennedy with nuns fainting in droves and priests coming over and giving him a punch in the shoulder. Hey, Johnny, you know, people screaming and smiling. Cut to Hubert Humphrey in some godforsaken little Norwegian town with three farmers, dour farmers, who probably killed themselves the next day, looking at Jack, looking at Hubert Humphrey, and he goes, yeah, my mother knew a good Norwegian cup of coffee when she made it. Dead silence. You know, you want to go back to where everybody's having fun, the Catholics, they're having fun.
You cannot compete with fanfare. And
no.
He just had it, and it was just, he was magnetic. And I'll tell you, I think I hit on this last time a little bit. John F. Kennedy spoke at Maronite Catholic Central High School, which is where I went to high school. And on his way out the back door to his limo or car or whatever, he had to use the restroom, and he went in and used the convent restroom. And he was in there for a while, so you can imagine, you know. But that became my mom's office when she was the foundation director at Maronite Catholic Central. And I remember looking at the toilet and go, John Kennedy sat here. So let's leave it at that. And we'll pick up there. We'll pick up there in just a minute. Coming up next, more with Frank Anderson. We're talking John F. Kennedy. We're going to talk the father of Wisconsin and a lot of other stuff. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was walking down the street. I was feeling all right. I'm with my boys. I'm with my troops here. Down along the avenue, some guys were shooting pool, and I heard the sound of acapella groans. Singing late.
Welcome back. We are talking with Frank Anderson of Wisconsinology about John F. Kennedy's connections and the Kennedy clan, really, their connection to the state of Wisconsin. So, Frank, so that was my story. Kennedy used the restroom at the convent, and people lost their mind. And
I bet they all had to sit there.
There's probably a long line after that, and he...
Did you?
I don't remember. I'm more of a, you know, all right, I'm going to tell you a story, Frank. I'm going to go off on a tangent here just to geek out at what I like to do when I see historical things, when I know something happened in a spot. All right. Stop me if I've told you this, because I feel like it is a story I would have told you. When I was doing stand-up comedy and traveling all over in the 90s, my wife went with me to Indianapolis, and the hotel they put us up in was right down the street from Benjamin Harrison's home. So we toured it, you know, it's a president, the U.S. president's home. We toured it, and it looked like we were bothering the guy who gives the tours, but we decided to take the tour anyway, and he showed us. And all throughout the tour, I'm saying, this is, he liked to cook, and this is the stove he used? And the guy's like, yeah, that's the stove. It's like all restored stuff. So we're going through, and I'm geeking out, and it's kind of cool. And finally, after a half hour, this kid, he's like 18, is kind of rolling his eyes at everything I'm saying. We get to the bedroom. And he says something like, that bed was gifted to him by Abraham Lincoln, and that's the bed he died in. And I looked at him, I said, Benjamin Harrison died in this bed? You're telling me he died right here? And the kid finally says, it's just Benjamin Harrison, man. So I like to look at something and take in the moment. And that's kind of what I did with this toilet. I was like, John F. Kennedy sat there. Now, this was like the early 80s maybe. So it was probably 20. Maybe they had changed the seat. I don't know. But it was referred to as Camelot's throne after that. And people had a lot of fun with it. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, it is just Benjamin Harrison.
Yeah. It's just Benjamin Harrison, man. And you know what? He was kind of right.
Well, it's just Millard Fillmore, man. Yeah.
It was just William Henry Harrison. He didn't even have time to take a nap in the bed. But the other thing I know about Kennedy is the last time he was on U.S. soil was in Ashland, Wisconsin, and it was in November of the year he died. I was at the tiny airport in Ashland once, and there's a plaque there, and I thought, wow, that's really cool, like knowing he was standing right here. And, yeah, it was just kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, he was there to dedicate some wetlands preserve
of considerable
size. I can't quite remember the entire details of it, but that's probably what that is associated with.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So I want to, now that we've covered Kennedy, Frank, I probably saw this on your Facebook page recently, but I had no idea in 2022, and I talked about this at the top of the show, Variety called Psycho the greatest American movie. And, you know, mm-hmm. you can agree or disagree, but I had no idea the writer of Psycho, Robert Bloch, wrote the book, right?
Right.
Okay. And from Wyoming. What the heck?
Yeah, 30 miles from Plainfield. He was writing it when it happened.
Wow. And it was based on Ed Gein, the character of Norman? Was it based on, I think I saw in your post, it was based on Ed Gein, the character of Norman Bates.
Completely.
Wow.
Completely. The difference between Eddie and Norman Bates is simple. He's being played by a more handsome version of Ed Gein.
Right.
But everything else is there, including, and I tell people to always watch, Anthony Perkins read that Ed chewed gum all the time.
Huh.
He did. He always had a pocket full of gum. And Tony Perkins, same thing throughout the movie. He's always breaking out a stick of gum.
That is so funny. First of all, I love that you refer to Ed Gein as Eddie.
Well, he is. He's already. Guy's a goddamn Eddie. Superstar. Come on.
Somehow.
And right now, Ed Gein, okay, two major documentaries.
Yeah.
And filmmaker, first of all, Werner Herzog. Did I tell this story?
I don't know.
Of when Werner Herzog went to Plainfield to dig up Ed Gein's mother?
No, please do, though.
Oh, I will, if you can. Who's the? I'm having a brain skip right now, but who made The Thin Red Line, director?
Wisconsin
Connection.
Yeah, it's Malick.
Thin
Malick.
Blue Line, sorry.
Malick. Thin Blue Line. I'm going to have to go to the Google for that one.
Yeah, he made The Known Unknown. He made a great documentary filmmaker. One, probably the greatest.
Is this like the one from the late 80s, The Thin Blue Line?
80s, yes, absolutely.
Errol Morris.
Errol Morris.
Yeah.
Thank you. Errol Morris and had interviewed Ed Gein. It's his favorite subject, period. Wow. So he interviewed Ed Gein when Ed Gein was a resident at the Central Hospital for the Criminally Insane, is what they called it when he was in Madison. Huh. And he interviewed him and has boxes of tapes, but he never made a movie out of it. Now he's about to. He and Werner Herzog made a deal. They were friends. And Errol Morris was a grad student at UW. And nice. They were going to meet in Plainfield at night, bring a shovel. We're going to dig up Ed Gein's mom.
Wow.
Augusta Gein. Well,
Augie?
Yes.
Okay.
Only one of them showed up, and that was, of course, Werner Herzog. But Werner didn't mind. You know, he didn't mind that his partner was chicken. He went right into Plainfield, got a motel room, and stayed for a couple months and made friends with everybody in Plainfield.
Oh, my gosh.
And decided to film his next movie, Stroshek, nearby.
Did he dig
and
the mama?
Rest is history. But now we're going to see those two attempting to commit this act of grave robbing.
Oh, gosh.
But Errol's got the goods because he interviewed Ed and he knew Ed. And Ed is always portrayed wrong. He did not have a Wisconsin accent. He was very knowledgeable. The two of them talked Freud for two entire cassette tapes.
Oh, my gosh.
What were they back then, 90 minutes?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's a lot of talk. Errol was, Ed was like your meek uncle. But he had the same accent. and he delivered in his flat accent. He could talk in anything.
You know, it's interesting.
He's that dean, of course, and he changed Hollywood forever.
Yeah. I have a point to make about that, too. Let's pick up there when we come back. Can you hang for a few?
Sure.
Okay. More coming up next with Wisconsinology's Frank Anderson. This is Pete Schwabe in Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Ring of Fire. The Ring of Fire.